Well, it is official, everybody. I'm almost fully caught up on falling behind on my goal of one podcast a week on program design for the next year. I think I only have one more to go and then I'm fully caught up. So what are we talking about today? Today we're talking about advanced program design styles. So I actually have four different styles of periodization that I'm going to be talking about. Am I going to be leaning into the ones that are that you see mostly at my gym and the styles that I use the most? But there's five specific styles that are the most common, and pretty much all principles and program design principles are based off these five different styles of periodization. So I'm really excited to share these with you because there's definitely three of them that I'm sure you've never heard of before. And for all I know, you haven't heard of all five. So I'm really excited to talk about all of these today. If you don't know me, I'm Matt Banwart. I own Red Wolf CrossFit in Huntington Beach, California with my wife, Caitlin. And we started this podcast with one goal in mind, and that was to make fitness education accessible, engaging, and effective for everyone. So today we're talking about advanced program design. So I have been designing training programs for the better part of, I want to say about since 2013 or so. So about 12 years. So about the second year that I founded my gym, I realized that the program design needed to be better because my knowledge was very limited. I was just, the only education I had was from CrossFit certification. So I bought an online course that taught me how to assess and actually was very, went really deep into program design. Probably one of the best educational purchases I've ever made because this is something that I love to do, something that I probably know the most about. And so I've implemented these different training systems over the course of the last 12 years of owning my gym. I've owned my gym for 13 now, but I've implemented these training styles for the last 12, not only in a group setting, but also in my one-on-ones and my personal training and in my online program design. So, and then over the course of those years, we've helped over 10,000 people achieve their fitness goals, whether that be advanced, like competing, or just simply losing 5 pounds. So really excited to talk to you about this today. So let's get right into the first one, which is traditional periodization. So all these pieces that I'm going to be talking about today are all about different styles of periodization. I'm not going to go super deep into each one of these, but I just want to give you a general overview of each so you know which one it is. I will go deeper into the ones that we use here at Red Wolf. So traditional periodization is just like how it sounds. So it's just a progressive approach to training, right? So it's about focusing on one physical quality, so hypertrophy, strength, or power at a time. So hypertrophy meaning muscle growth, if you don't know what that means. So we typically do this in different blocks, okay? So we'll spend time. So the structure really flows like this. So it goes high volume, low intensity. So we're working on, so a high volume, low intensity piece would definitely fall into the hypertrophy or muscle growth zone. Now, if we wanted to focus on strength or power, that'd be different. We'd go low volume. So we would accumulate less work over the course of an entire week or training cycle, but it'd be much higher intensity. So it'd be much more excruciating and not as fun, at least on that last rep or so. So that's more the strength and power. And this is best for people who are athletes with predictable competition schedules. Okay, so if we know what we're training for, or we're testing for a year out or a few months out, then we can actually work backwards from that. And again, I made a whole entire another podcast on reverse engineering. So you guys can go back and listen to that one. And a good example of this is, so you spend time in the hypertrophy range. So you spend time in the 8 to 12 rep range. And so what is, so the that's typically a hypertrophy range. And we're working at about the 65 to 75% of our one rep max. And then in the strength range, we're actually working in the 4 to 6 rep range. So 80 to 90% of our one rep max. And then this is kind of a general overview. These reps can change. Okay. So you can get hypertrophy in the 15 to 20 plus range. Strength, you can get anywhere between the 1 and 8 rep range as well. It just depends on the exercise. So just some context there on that. And then finally, power in the 1 to 3 rep range. And then that's 90% or one rep max better. So at hypertrophy, we're specifically training an organic adaptation. So it's not very neurological, not going to be very taxing on the nervous system. So that is going to grow the muscle, though, and it's going to allow us a better strength base for taking on other movements, especially if we want to add something like speed to it. Then we have strength. Strength is kind of a combination of both. It's both an organic and a neurological adaptation because when you're lifting heavy, especially in that 4 to 6 rep range, you are going to put on muscle, but it's also going to be taxing on the nervous system as well. So you have a combination of both, which is very extremely helpful for, especially if you're someone who's a CrossFitter. And then power range is completely pretty much central nervous system or creatine phosphate. if you're doing Olympic lifting. And what that means is that it's you're just using pretty much your brain. I get it. Your muscles are still working along with it, but the primary driver towards lifting that weight is going to be neurological. So a good example of this is, if you ever seen someone fail a back squat, they actually look really good most of the time going on the way down. They come up about a quarter or a third of the way, and then they just shut down. They have to drop. The weight falls off their back, and they're done. And the reason for that is because the nervous system literally shuts itself down to protect itself. And so that's why we want to be training in all these different zones in order to maximize muscle growth. Now, the real question is how do we implement traditional periodization into our program design here at Red Wolf? So we do spend time mixing these in almost every week, okay? So we do have some sort of traditional, depending on our training cycle, I would say the majority of our training cycles are like traditional periodization, where we're progressing on both strength, hypertrophy, and power all in the same week, okay? This is the best, I wouldn't say it's the best, but this is the easiest and the most basic way to progress, especially if you're new. You don't really need to do anything very advanced in terms of periodization. And so you've been training for a lot of years. That's when you need to start doing more advanced styles of periodization or program design. What we found is that traditional periodization works very well because we have little touch points on everything, right? So we have we have some times where we do work on muscle growth, we work on strength, we work on power. Now, is it enough to progress very quickly in all of them? I would say no. However, is it enough to make progression slow to medium? Absolutely. And over time, this is why we implement our build and burn program as well, because our build and burn program fills in the gaps in these and allows you to actually get better in these different realms without losing it. Because what we found is that some people, when they do just classes, that they do start to plateau because they've just been training us for 5+ years. And then that's when we do recommend adding in, or if you're just an advanced person or you want more, we just add in that build and burn program, because that's when we start adding in some more advanced training styles. So let's move on to the next one, which is the conjugate method. Now, this method is something that we actually don't implement a lot at Red Wolf. And the reason being is because it is a very advanced method and it does work. I've done conjugate method before, but what it does is it simultaneously develops multiple physical qualities. So we're looking at strength, power, and speed specifically, though. So not really hypertrophy. And this is all within one training week as well. So this is a lot to fit in, and they use a lot of bands and speed work and percentages and light percentages for speed. We found that this isn't the best to implement just because it's just a little bit harder for people to understand and they're just not there yet. They don't need to have a fast, squat or deadlift or bench press, and implementing these, especially when you're already integrating Olympic weightlifting, just isn't necessary. This works really good though if you're a power lifter or if you just want to get specifically good at the traditional lifts like squat, bench press, shoulder press, deadlift, then this is definitely for you. So the structure includes max effort and dynamic effort. So that means speed work and repetition work and then accessory work each week. Okay, so it's kind of a blend of that. So this is best for advanced athletes looking to maintain multiple qualities simultaneously. So powerlifters and field athletes, like I said, are going to be the best beneficiaries of this. And so an example of a training style for this would be on Monday, you would do like a max effort upper body. So you would do like a 3-rep max bench press. That'd be your main training for that day. Of course, you would add another stuff on top of that, but let's just stick with the bread and butter. And on Wednesday, you would do a max effort lower body, so a 3-rep max. On Friday, you would do a dynamic upper body, so a speed bench press with bands. So you would put bands, like a light band, like a red band on each side of the clips, and then you would do it for speed, and these would typically be lower reps. On Saturday, you would do dynamic effort lower body, so like speed box squats, okay? So you would do like touch and go rep, so you would come down on the box squat, and sometimes there'd be bands on there, and then you would use that as speed off the box as well to have that very fast dynamic muscle contraction. And what this does, it allows the nervous system not to get overtaxed, especially because when you're, think of it, if you max out all the time on squat, bench press, deadlift, even 3 or 5 rep maxes, that you are going to get tired very quickly. It's both going to tax you both neurologically and physically. So you need to be careful on how you're training. So that's why adding speed at lower percentages is really helpful, because you're still doing the lifts and you're still working on the maximum contractions, but you're doing it at a much lighter load and with a little bit of extra resistance with the bands. Now, personally, I didn't think this worked great for CrossFitters. I did a program that was a CrossFit program specifically that was very heavy on the conjugate method. I personally didn't see a ton of benefit from it. I don't know if it was just because I wasn't as body aware at the time or because I was younger. But I remember doing speed deadlifts and speed squats with bands and everything and just being like, this is cool and all. And I'm following the program and I'm getting some okay results, but is this really the best use of my time? And the answer is probably no. Like, I really don't see a ton of people, especially high level CrossFitters, doing anything similar to the conjugate method. Do I see them doing things like every once in a while, something like this? Absolutely. But is it their main training style? Absolutely not. So that's my thoughts on that. Is it great for powerlifters or field athletes? Absolutely. But if you're a CrossFitter, probably not the best fit for you. Now we're going to move on to our next one. Where'd it go? Oops, sorry. I messed up my slides. So there we go. We're on block periodization. Now, this is the training style that we're actually currently on. And probably by the release of this podcast, we'll still be on this block periodization style. So what this does, it divides training into specific specialized blocks. Hence the name. And so what we do is we focus on one primary quality per block while maintaining others to a lesser degree. So we're just being biased towards one thing, okay? And the structure is we have an accumulation block. So this is where it's high volume and with general strength and strength endurance. So those of you who noticed that the other day we did bench press and shoulder press in the same workout, and then we did box handstand pushups, guess what? That is high volume and we're accumulating volume for general strength and endurance. So that's what we're literally doing right there. Also, you notice we did the same thing with, squats. It was just a heavy squat day, and then we did lunges on top of that, and then we did more lower body on top of that. So we're just accumulating a ton of volume per that muscle group or per whatever it is that we're training. And my chest is still sore from that, by the way, from that bench press, shoulder press workout. And then we have transmutation blocks. So this is where we have moderate volume with short for sport-specific strength and power, okay? And we're not in that block yet as of the recording of this podcast, but I'll go into that in a second. And then we have the realization block, which is low volume, high intensity for peaking. So this is where things actually get a little bit easier in terms of volume, but the intensity goes up. And this is, I use block periodization a lot in when I do one-on-one program design. Because what I found is that in order to break through a plateau once I identify a weakness, I really want to attack it. And this is where block periodization is extremely helpful. And this is why I really like it, specifically for targeting weaknesses. And who block periodization is best for is for advanced athletes with specific performance goals. So even if you're not an advanced athlete at our gym, we do have specific performance goals that we set here and that I know a lot of you have. And then we do take surveys. We do ask you what you want to do. And then what we do is we design a training program specifically to get you there. And so a lot of people want an upper body for this training cycle. So here we go. You get upper body. And so we're in the accumulation block. And then also athletes preparing for competition. So I use this a lot for when I'm training someone like Kim or Caitlin for accumulating volume. And then we go into transmutation. Then we end in realization in those blocks. And this is really easy because it's really easy because I can block it. I know exactly what we're working on for like 4 weeks. I know what we're working on the next 4 weeks. I know what we're working on the next 4 weeks. So it's really easy to structure and really easy for me to see and kind of control what's going on. That's why I like it as a coach, is because I have a lot of control and I can really predict what's going to happen based on just seeing the data and doing the training program itself. So let's move into the examples of each one of these different kind of training blocks within a block. Ooh, block inception or whatever. So block one is a hypertrophy focus. So we just talk about that. That's where we accumulate volume and we have general strength and endurance. We're in that phase right now in our gym. And then block two is more strength focused. Okay, so this is for 4 weeks. And then this is where we kind of lower the volume. Okay, so the reps aren't as high. And then we do a little more sport specific strength and power. So this is where the reps do get lower and we're focusing more on so that way we can recover a little bit better, but we are adding a little bit more intensity to it. So it's not as slow. So you notice that when we did do, like, for example, that bench press, shoulder press workout with the handstand pushups and the farmer walks, is that it wasn't very high intensity, but it's just like muscle burn, right? So now we're in the transmutation block. We start adding a little more intensity because the reps are lower and we add some speed. The heart rate's going to get up and the intensity is going to be a little bit higher. And then finally, we end with block three, which is 4 weeks of a power-based block. So this is where the reps are lower, the sets are lower as well, and the intensity is very high, okay? So this, first off, the good thing about this allows you to emit a full power output because you built the base. And this also works really well with just the strength continuum in general. Again, if you haven't listened to my strength continuum podcast, go back and listen to that one. I believe it was like one or two of those ago. Just scroll back and listen to that one. But this follows that strength continuum very well. And then when we're working on power-based focus, we're working on maximum output, okay, or the maximum force produced, okay? So that's what we're looking for on a power-based block. I really like the style, and at Red Wolf, we do utilize this very frequently. This is probably, other than the traditional periodization, it's probably the second most used one. We don't use it as often as we usually do, because I do like to have a mix personally. However, block periodization is something we do mix in, especially when we find and identify a weakness and we want to attack it. So moving on to undulating periodization. So this one is alternates intensity and volume within a week to avoid stagnation and overtraining. So this one works really well. We kind of do this as in a mix of traditional periodization as well. Simply because, I mean, if you notice that we have like a day where we only lift, like an example recently, ladies, for the past of all of 2020, you notice that Saturdays have been all lifting, and some of you stay for the build and burn camp. And previously that was our High Rocks workout on Saturdays. But you can see there that we was specifically just a strength day with no intensity, no conditioning piece. And this is kind of, and then the next day was a little bit harder, higher intensity, or it was a longer workout, or just a traditional CrossFit workout that was pretty tough. And so this is what undulating periodization is. I can't even speak right now. So daily undulating means that it just changes occur session to session. So strength day, hypertrophy, and power day. Okay. So this is kind of similar to traditional periodization, except it's just spread out more. This one is more kind of back to back. So this is best for intermediate to advanced athletes, or athletes needed constant variation for progress, or with unpredictable schedules. Okay. So this is, I usually use this style a lot with my personal training. So for example, like on Monday will be like a hypertrophy day where we're doing like a good, like easy example of this is like 3 sets of 10 at 70% of your 1 rep max. And then Wednesday we have a strength day, which is like 4 sets of 5 at like 85% of your 1 rep max. And then Friday would be like a power day, which would be like 5 sets of 3 at 90% your 1 rep max. And then obviously these exercises would change over time, and it just depends on what we're really focusing on that time. But we do use this. We don't use it a ton because what it's actually referring to is actually doing similar movements here. So it's like 3 sets of 10 back squat, and then 4 sets of 5 back squat, and then 5 sets of 3 back squat if you're squatting or any of that pieces there. But I do like this style because it does. I mean, I guess that example was kind of hard for me to understand, I guess, because I just threw it out there, but on top of my head. But it's helpful because stagnation and overtraining is actually very more common than people think. Even if they don't feel it, is that I hate stagnating. I hate it when my clients or my members stagnate. I always want to be pushing them. And then overtraining is a real thing too, that it's actually a lot easier than you think to get burned out. And you actually don't notice it until it happens. And once it happens, you actually have to take a lot of time off in order to recover from overtraining. And it's not fun. I actually did this recently. That's why I got sick. So you have to make sure that when you're doing this though, that you're actually doing it in an intelligent way to where that you're not underdoing it. And I think that's the most common thing that I've made mistakes myself with using this style of periodization, is that I would actually underdo it because I'm very, I guess, kind of traditional, like you do this on Monday and the next Monday we go up 5 pounds kind of a guy in terms of periodization, just because it's easier and simpler for me to understand and know that I can just get instant feedback just by looking at it and know if we're getting better or not. This one's a little bit more complicated because you're doing 3 sets of 10 on Monday, 4 sets of 5 on Wednesday, and then 5 sets of 3 on Friday. And so it just takes a little bit more tracking, which is fine, but it's just a different style of periodization that I do use from time to time with my one-on-ones. But in terms of our CrossFit classes, we don't really use this a ton because we kind of like to spread things out a little bit more in terms of our strength training specifically. Now, moving on to our last one, which is triphasic training, okay? This one emphasizes eccentric, isometric, and concentric phases of a movement in separate training blocks. So this is not something we use at all at Red Wolf. And we're ending with this one because this is the one that I probably know the least about because I don't really implement it. So I really only know about the training styles that I implement because, well, I implement it, obviously. So I really use what is useful towards what I am training for in terms of myself or the goals of my members or clients. I discard the rest. It's really that simple. So the structure of this is 2-week blocks focusing on each phase. So example, so we would do eccentric squats for 2 weeks. And the goal is to improve power output and control. Okay, so this is best for power athletes. So for sprinters and jumpers. So a good example of this is we do a block, you know, a 2-week block of eccentrics, which is like flywheel squat. So that's like a slow eccentric squat. And then we do an isometric block, which is like an isometric squat hold. So holding at either certain positions of a squat or at the bottom of a squat. And then we have concentric block, which is speed squats. Okay, so you focus on the concentric action, which is where the coming up phase of a squat. Now, I'm not going to go too deep into this because, again, I don't know a ton about it because I haven't really implemented this at all into our training. But just know that if you're a sprinter or a jumper, this is something that you might want to look into a little bit more. Then again, I haven't really implemented this. I've implemented some isometrics and some speed into it, but nothing that is truly, I would say, triphasic training. So if you're interested in that, definitely look more into triphasic training. Otherwise, discard it because it's really geared towards sprinters or jumpers. So I hope you found this helpful of me kind of going over the 5 different styles of periodization. And again, we do this completely for free. So if you do me a favor and share this with a friend or leave me a 5-star review, I'd really appreciate it because every time I see those numbers, it really makes me motivated to keep making content just like this for you guys. Really appreciate you all listening and I will catch you on the next one.